Welcome to On With Origins. I'm your host, Frank Diekman, Cooperator-in-Chief for CUToday.info. During this podcast, we'll be talking with industry leaders to learn more about leveraging technology to meet goals and deliver meaningful results. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
We have two very well-known guests today. Lucky to have them. They are Mike Schenck, the Chief Economist with CUNA, and Bob Child, the COO with Origins. Welcome to both of you.
Good afternoon.
Thanks. Good to see you, Frank.
Good seeing you. Let me ask a question just to get us started. You're both in the economics business. You both understand supply and demand. So if you could have an unlimited supply of only one thing for the rest of your life, what might it be?
Free time.
Well, in this market, it's liquidity. We need more liquidity.
And there's plenty of demand for that, for both. Bob, you mentioned liquidity in this market. You know, we're into this high rate market. A lot of discussion about it in credit unions, a lot of discussion about liquidity. The higher rates are here. How effective, in your opinion, have credit unions been in responding to this market? And where might there be some work to be done and some adjustments to be made?
Well, so you got to go back in time a little bit here to 2022. So 2022 was a banner record-setting year for lending in the credit union community, which they did very successfully. The challenge was they should have been moving up rates a little bit faster on their loans and also on their deposits. And so as we got to the fourth quarter of 2022, credit unions started to feel the pinch of loan-to-share ratio. So loan-to-share ratio at the end of 2022 was 81%. And now we're into an exacerbated situation in 2023 as we look at things like SVB and now Republic Bank. There's an increased pressure on liquidity. And so I think the credit unions were a little bit slow in 2022, but they're all over it here in Q1 of 2023.
Mike, what are your thoughts? Similar question. How well have credit unions responded to this market? And is there work left to be done?
Well, I mean, I think if you look historically, credit unions, obviously, they're not in the business of maximizing profits. They're in the business of maximizing service to members. And that means that they typically respond to rising interest rates by doing just what they did this time around. They raise deposit rates pretty quickly, and they hold off on raising yields on assets. So they're pretty careful about raising interest rates on loans. That's exactly what happened. So they behave in really pro-consumer ways. We follow Equifax data. We purchased a sample of the Equifax database. It shows very clearly that credit unions lagged the market. Fed funds rate went up by 425 basis points between February and December of 2022. Credit unions raised their rates 166 basis points on 72-month car loans. In the banking world, rates went up by 297 basis points over that same period of time. So banks went up 70% of the increase in the Fed funds rate. Credit unions went up only 39% of that increase. And what that meant was that credit union pricing was more consumer friendly. And in fact, at the end of the year, deep subprime borrowers that borrowed from credit unions would save roughly $5,000, actually $4,700 or so on an automobile loan, a $40,000 automobile loan. And the savings were even bigger if you compared credit unions to finance companies, almost $13,000 in savings. So really, there was what I think that represents is not a flaw in an operational response, but sort of doubling down on credit union mission, serving people to the extent you can when they really need you to be serving them. And everybody knows that access to reliable, affordable transportation is sort of job one from a financial wellness standpoint. So,
Mike, I guess on that one, the auto lending was, as you're pointing out, was a great deal for consumers. I think where they got trapped was they weren't raising their share account and their deposit rates fast enough. And so we saw the single largest loan to share increase in the fourth quarter of last year. And I mean, from my perspective, if credit unions would have kept their eye on those deposits, as well as doing what you're talking about on the auto lending, we wouldn't be at where we're at right now. So we have got some of the largest lenders in the U.S. right now, the largest credit unions that are effectively out of the market right now because they are lent out. That's where I feel we may have, we have missed the mark a little bit in that we did so much, so many good things in the second half of last year that now we've exhausted the powder, if you will. And so it's hard now to continue to serve a lot of the members in 2023 because we're kind of maxed out.
So from my perspective, there is a lot of variation. You know, we talk about the overall results, and certainly there's concern. The loan-to-share ratio has come up and come up quickly. At the same time, it's at a level today that is actually a little bit lower than pre-pandemic level. Now, I absolutely agree with you that there has to be a balance, and raising deposit rates quickly or slowly does matter and matter a lot. And we've seen a slower response this time around that has presented challenges for some credit unions. And, you know, it's certainly true. There's no silver bullet, no magic wand. Increasing liquidity comes at a cost.
Yes.
And it's especially expensive if you're looking for more at the same time that everyone else is. No question about that. But, you know, what I'm seeing in the marketplace is really thoughtful approaches to increasing deposit prices at the moment, not on all deposits, on odd term certificate accounts, for example, increasing access to liquidity, making sure that you have all of the arrows in your quiver, so to speak, and then actually increasing borrowing. That's, again, expensive, especially in this environment. And I've actually, not surprisingly, talked to some credit unions who have sold securities, in some cases at a loss, to ensure that they can continue to engage in the marketplace. But you're right. Some institutions are finding themselves in an uncomfortable situation today. But I just think that in general, on average, this idea of cooperatives, remaining in the game as long as they can is something that came through sort of in a real obvious way and in a real helpful way from a consumer perspective.
Absolutely. The what I'm seeing, and I think you're alluding to it, is that, in normal cycles, you can adjust your deposit rates and, you can pick up a little bit of liquidity. And you're right. It's really challenging right now in this particular economy to create that balance on the liquidity. And like you, I'm seeing the same thing, that credit unions are becoming a lot more sophisticated in some of the things that they are doing now in 2023, more so than we ever saw before. So, just take, like you mentioned, securitizations. And so, two securitizations already in flight this year. I know there's several that are already in the works. Loan participations are going through the roof all over the place, tapping into the FHLB for money. So credit unions are doing a lot of unique things, more so than we've seen in the past, in order to prop up that liquidity and get themselves back into the lending game, which is where they want to be, which is where you started, Mike, of, you know, that is their mission and that's what they want to do. And they just got to get creative now.
With lending being that strong at some credit unions, to the point, as Bob noted, that some have had to exit for a while until they're have a little more liquidity. It wasn't that long ago we kept hearing a lot of discussion about recession. But with the with this kind of consumer spending going on, what are your thoughts about that this year? Or will we see a recession or just some sort of a slowdown, in your opinion?
Well, funny you should ask. We CUNA economists just met today to update our quarterly forecast. And we're actually a little bit more upbeat than we were the last time we met. When I say CUNA, it's actually a collaborative effort between three current CUNA economists and three previously employed CUNA economists. And amongst the six of us, I have to say that the range of probability on recession is quite wide. The low end of the range, 30% probability. The high end of the range, 75% probability. The median was 50%. So three of us say that it's likely that we'll have a recession in the next 18 months. Three say that it's not that likely. That's a lot of variation. The most that I can remember at any point in my 31 years here of putting forecasts together for credit unions. But I think the really surprising thing for a number of us is how resilient the job market is. 3.5% unemployment, still adding on a three-month average basis about 300,000 jobs per month. 1.7 job openings for every person that's unemployed in the face of this really aggressive Fed policy response. It's really pretty surprising. So we're sort of in uncharted waters in many respects. That accounts for some of the variation in our viewpoints. But we are very concerned about the fact that rates have come up so fast on the one hand. And then on the other hand, the Bob mentioned the Silicon Valley Bank situation, a really significant drag on lending and economic activity, more than likely. We haven't seen the full brunt of it yet. And then we're also very concerned at this point about what's going to happen with the debt ceiling and the budget situation as we go forward. So there's a couple of things that are sort of out there hanging in the wings that that I think account for some of that variation.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with what Mike's saying there. And, you know, the consumer resilience is just amazing. As much as the Fed wants to tap this thing down, the consumer resilience is absolutely amazing. I'm on the lower side of, I'm not an economist, but I'm on the lower side of that probability, probably closer to the 30%. What I do feel, and Mike, as a expert economist, I feel what is even more painful than a recession is stagflation. And I feel that we are sitting in a painful stagflation situation right now. And I'll speak to it from a car buying perspective. So the cars that are being purchased now today have new cars have an average price of $50,000. I mean, they've gone up significantly in the last couple of years. And so when you look at now who's buying those new cars, it's not the hourly workers now. Now it's the people at the upper middle income level. And those are the people that aren't feeling the pinch of sugar prices going up 16% or rice prices going up 20%. These are the people like, it, you know, it's annoyance, but they're still living their daily lives and they're out there purchasing cars. But on the flip side, when you look at that lower middle and the lower income, they're really, really getting hurt right now. And I think that's where this stagflation is just crushing out there. So you're saying, well, okay, so why don't I have then a higher probability on the recession? Well, not to get into politics, but, you know, Mike brought it up that, you know, you got the debt ceiling thing, but we are going to be going into an election cycle. And so I think both sides are going to be committed to making sure that, you know, we keep this engine going and we don't do something horrible to the economy. So we'll see.
On that point, we at the beginning of this podcast, we spoke about the pressures credit unions are feeling, some of which resulted from credit unions not being prepared for rising rates, for rates to rise as quickly as they have. Mike or Bob, any thoughts on, let's say we do see a change in the economy, something credit unions should do now to prepare so that perhaps they don't feel pressures down the road? Are there any strategies you advise them to be thinking through from both your perspectives?
Well, I've been encouraging people to embrace the challenges that they're about to face. And again, that gets back to mission and purpose. Why credit unions were created during the Great Depression. They were created and with a different structure that would virtually guarantee that behaviors would be different, that they would remain engaged during tough times. And so if you look back historically, I've lived through several significant crises, the S&L crisis, the farm crisis, the financial crisis, and obviously the COVID crisis. On the back end of each of those crises, credit union membership has grown and grown pretty significantly. And I think for the most part, the COVID crisis was a little bit different than the others. But for the most part, it was because credit unions actually were focused on service and not focused so much on protecting capital. They realize that using capital in tough times is the way to shine and the way to serve members. And they've done that consistently. And there's a business payoff at the back end of each of these crises that we can see where membership growth is many times the rate of population growth. So people recognize what we do. They embrace it. They tell their friends about it. And membership grows. So I hate to be prescriptive, but, you know, I feel pretty safe in terms of telling people, stick to your knitting, do what got you here in the first place. Why do people think of us as financial first responders? Because that's what we do. It's in our DNA.
Bob, your thoughts on what perhaps credit unions could be doing now?
Well, I mean, we talked about some of the things that they're doing, you know, as it relates to securitizations, participations, lending, and things of that nature. The challenge, I mean, it's tough to be a CEO, a CFO, or a board member at a credit union now. I mean, the challenge in my mind is that the spreads and the yields are wider right now in lending than they were in 2022. And I'm not trying to make this an economic. I mean, it's also about being out there and getting more loans. But the challenge is that they put on a lot of lower margin business in 2022. And so now you're faced with this challenge of, I want to get back in the game at an accelerated level here in 2023, because A, I can do right by my members, and B, you know, there's a greater yield to it. Now, in order to do that, though, I'm going to have to probably make some painful decisions. I'm going to, as Mike said, I mean, I may have to do a securitization where I may have to take a loss on some of the book that was done last year, or I may have to sell off some other stuff and again take a loss on it. That's a word that credit unions are not used to discussing in the boardrooms. But it's a way to manage your liquidity and figure out how you're going to manage your liquidity, and B, how I'm going to keep the engine going here in 2023. So I get the sense there's some difficult conversations happening in a lot of boardrooms and credit unions these days.
A final question for both of you, and I'll admit it's my own personal curiosity. Mike, I always enjoy sincerely your forecasts and the work you do, and I enjoy reading your interpretations of data. Bob, I always enjoy looking through some of the Origins reports. I'd be curious if there is a data point either in the economy or within credit unions that each of you like to pay attention to, or in the case of Origins and the Origins data, a data point you each like to pay attention to that perhaps doesn't get the attention it deserves. Anything come to mind for you, Bob?
There's three that I'm watching super, well, probably four, but I'm watching very closely right now. The first is the two-year treasury. Just because on a lot of auto loans, credit unions look to peg against the two-year treasury. And so, like a lot of rates, that went up really fast. It's slowing a bit, but so I keep an eye on that. The second one is loan applications coming through our pipeline. Typically, we do about one auto loan application every 2 seconds. But as I mentioned before, you know, we saw in the second week of March, things starting to slow down. And all of a sudden, coincidentally, at the same time, there was an article out that tax refunds were 11% lower this year compared to last year and years past. And typically, those refund checks are kind of a driver for people to go in and purchase cars. And so we're seeing that a little bit lower. And so as we saw the application, the car loan applications come down, you start to tie it to other things out there, the other economic indicators. And then the last is the funding ratio, or the kind of, we call it look to book ratio. So our of the applications that credit unions are taking in, what percentage of those are they funding? So basically, if we keep applications flat, are we funding at that same percentage ratio, or is it coming down? Meaning that we're seeing some contraction away from credit unions, away from lending. So those are the ones that we look at here.
And Mike, your thoughts? Is there a data point that you like to look to that you feel doesn't get the attention it should?
Yeah, the ones that I think about a lot from an economic perspective, I would say it's pretty high level. But I remember prior to the COVID crisis, being on the stage at the GAC and talking about one of my number one concerns, which we really don't talk about a lot, and that's demographic trends. Underlying demographic trends are a big concern to me, not just here in the U.S., but internationally. As you know, the Census Bureau tells us 10,000 baby boomers are reaching retirement age every day. Household formation is quite low and has been on a declining trend. Birth rates are very low and on a declining trend. Because of COVID and substance abuse issues, the death rate is quite high from a historical perspective. And all of these things sort of combine to, I think, really serve as a warning that the way forward is not going to look anything like what we were used to in the past. And so the idea of the economy humming along at a 3% growth rate, it's just not something that's going to happen. And I think by extension, what that means is that, you know, the operating environment for credit unions, for lending generally, is going to be a lot more challenging. It's going to be a new normal, in my view. But the good news is that credit unions, because we occupy a small slice of the industry, the lending industry, we can actually do quite well in difficult environments. So I think that's the good part of that. But the not so good part is just sort of this underlying, lumpy, slow-moving change in the population. And, you know, I should have probably also mentioned in the mix there is obviously immigration policy. You know, that we could fix the issue pretty quickly. I don't think there's the political will to do that at the moment or anytime in the near future. So that's problematic. I watch it very closely. From an industry perspective, the thing that I, again, don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's all about mission and purpose. And so what I've been telling credit unions in terms of data points, this is the time, really, when you have to, you know, stop thinking about your secret sauce and make it less of a secret. we need more and more credit unions to think about their purpose, the way their credit union changes people's lives. It varies for all credit unions, but the way that their credit unions change people's lives, and then to come up with the proof points, to come up with the data points that actually show that your credit union is moving the needle within its field of membership and in its community.
Mike, Bob, this has been really interesting, especially to me, and I regret that we don't have more time. But I would like to thank Mike Schenk of CUNA and Bob Child of Origins for joining us today on this On With Origins podcast. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for taking this time with us today. Please be sure to view the show notes for important links and information discussed during this episode. And if you haven't had the chance to already, please subscribe to On With Origins through your favorite podcast listening platform to receive notifications and new episode alerts. Have a great rest of your day, and we look forward to having you tune in for our next episode.